Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay. 440. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. The persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures. And some, even though they have knowledge of or can cite passages from the revealed scriptures, have actually no faith in these words. And even though others may have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. Out of all the above-mentioned persons, those who have no faith and are always doubtful make no progress at all. Men without faith in God and the revealed word find no good in this world nor in the next. For them there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow in the footsteps of great acharyas, learn the disciplic session and thereby obtain success. So someone who doesn't have faith in God or the scriptures then is not going to do very well at all. Right, in any sphere, materially, spiritually, like this. 441. The one who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus he is not bound by the reactions of work, O conqueror of riches. The follower of the Gita becomes free from all doubts. One who follows the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, as it is imparted by the Lord, the personality of Godhead himself, becomes freed from all doubts by the grace of transcendental knowledge. He, as a part and parcel of the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, is already established in self-knowledge. As such, he is undoubtedly above bondage to action. So someone who's performing devotional activity, so that means the results will be for Krishna. So in that situation, one's going to be above bondage. Right? Person who has his doubts, then he's not going to be able to perform naishkarmya. Right? And even if he, like you said, if he can quote scriptures or this or that, or even if he follows Gita but doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, he'll never actually come to the devotional platform. He'll actually won't have the proper understanding. So someone who's a proper follower of Gita, who follows Gita free from doubt under the direction of the spiritual master, then he's part and parcel of the Lord, because that's what he meant. He, as part and parcel of the Lord, in full Krishna consciousness, is already established in self-knowledge. So he's properly situated. Right? So there's no room for cultivating or keeping an identity of doubt, right, or faithlessness or doubt in the scriptures, right? One may have doubts, that's fine, but one should endeavor to clear those doubts. One can't take it that is you are more thoughtful than others, therefore you have doubts. No, everybody thinks. It's just that that everybody thinks, but they have faith. And the person who's always doubtful means he thinks, but he doesn't have faith. But he'll just say, oh, the other's a sentiment, I'm using intelligence. No, it's that everybody's using their intelligence, just without faith, the actual inspiration doesn't arise. You know what I'm saying? But they'll try to cloud it by saying, no, but I'm more thoughtful than others, right? You know, they just blindly accept. No, they're also thinking. You know, like that. 442. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge, armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. Right? So one with no faith, he doesn't get anywhere. But one who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits, right, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, he is on the platform of self-realization. Right? Therefore, whatever doubts are there should be destroyed by knowledge. Right? So now he's making a conclusion here. Because he showed that by having knowledge, what platform you come to, by not having that faith and knowledge, what you end up with. And so, therefore, the person who is free from doubts, he does well. Therefore, Arjuna should remove his doubts with this sword of knowledge. One should study Bhagavad Gita under the bona fide spiritual master. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifices to the demigods. Sacrifice to Brahman, sacrifice in celibacy. The big sacrifice being a celebrity, right? No private time. You have this paparazzi following you everywhere like that. You know, I mean, didn't do well for Lady Diana, right? The paparazzi got her. So in other words, it's a great sacrifice, right? In household life, okay, yes. Okay, sacrifice in household life, in controlling the senses, in practicing mystic yoga, in penance, in forgoing material possessions, in studying the Vedas, and in partaking of the social institution called Varnashram Dharma. Right, so that's sacrifice. So that's also why people don't like it, because it's sacrifice. Taking part in the modern society, there's no sacrifice. What's the sacrifice? Because you're just doing what you think is what you feel is good. So there's no sacrifice. Right, because there's no standard. Is there an intellectual standard of how you should live, what you should eat, how you dress, what you should eat, what you do? No. The point is that you can do whatever you want, and if you get in the way of someone doing whatever he wants, then that's bad, right? So that's the problem with the Vedic culture, is it defines what you should do, because there's sacrifice. So therefore, it's directly opposed to the modern liberal concept. Does that make sense? Though the interesting thing is it's the modern liberal concept isn't actually liberal. No. It's just as narrow-minded as the conservative. It's just moved to the left instead of moved to the right. Right? Because Krishna consciousness includes the elements of importance in the liberal position and points of importance in the conservative position. So that's broad. That's liberal. Right? Because the liberal can't accommodate the conservative, the conservative can't accommodate the liberal. So actually Krishna conscious is both. But the point is what's of use in the one is taken. In other words, the interest in the individual, right? That ability for each individual to develop to their best, that's what's important in the liberal. But the point is that whimsicalness, that there is no authority, that doesn't have any position. Right, and the conservative, that there's structure, there's form, there's authority, there's respect for authority, then that's good. What its weakness is it doesn't deal with the individual. It doesn't accommodate the individual. It's all the institution. Does that make sense? So the point is when you can apply the institutional values to the individual for their benefit, then that's the actual Krishna consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? So, because it is also sacrifice, varnashram, therefore that's the problem. Because otherwise, the liberal position is only good for liberals. It's not good for conservatives. Right? But the Christian varnashram is good for everybody.
But again, the liberals, they don't even like each other. Because they're
no,
in
they
different
don't.
Ways.
It means conservatives have good friends and close to that. Liberals never do. There are a couple of individuals, you might have one friend, you might not. You know, so if it's an improvement, then there should be an improvement in the actual interaction between the individuals. But no, each individual has the freedom to do whatever they like. So if you do, if everybody does whatever they like, then where's the common ground to be friends? Right? With a conservative, everybody does the same thing, so they're all friends.
So they don't feel so good, but they're all friends.
Yeah, or they feel good when it's like that. It means that, yeah, until a liberal comes around, then they're great. Right? Yeah.
Is it what Srila Prabhupada wanted to develop through this Eastern institution?
Varnashram? He wanted to establish Brahmins. See, ISKCON doesn't have to establish Varnashram. We have to establish Brahmins and Brahminical culture. Brahmins will then create Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas will make the Varnashram. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because the Brahmins know how it works. But the Kshatriyas will do it. Yes.
Could we say that we can offer Varnashram now to people who are interested because it will give them information as to how to be successful?
That's there. But the point is Varnashram without Krishna consciousness is also
useful.
Yeah, so we're not interested in working hard to establish Varnashram if people aren't going to be Krishna conscious.
I was thinking towards devotees. Because
devotee means it's there. That's what we're saying. We're establishing the Brahminical culture. And so, and then the value in Brahmins, right? The Brahmins is an occupation. So if that's appreciated, then everything else will work. Right? But otherwise, then it won't work like that. So the point is that individuals can take it and follow it on their own. You know, but as an organized big thing, that's not for, we're not worried about that because we're preaching. You know what I'm saying? You know, just like Vashishta, he's the Rajguru for the king. You know, like, but he doesn't worry about establishing Varnashram. He worries about seeing that the king knows what's going on.
Yeah, it's not his field of
activity. Yeah, it's not necessary. All of these are known as sacrifice, and all of them are based on regulated actions. So that's what all of these regulated actions. So therefore. Sacrifice to Brahman, celibacy, household life, controlling the senses, practice mystic yoga, forgoing possession, studying the Vedas, Varnashram. Because they're all based on regulated action. But within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. If there's no self-realization, what's the meaning or benefit of sacrifice? Right? You're going to give up something, but if it doesn't get you self-realization, then it's temporary, it's a waste of time. I mean, we may look at it, well, in this lifetime I'll get so much, but the point is there's next life, and the life after that, and the life after that, and then another million lives after this. It just keeps on going. So unless self-realization is the important factor, then none of these have any value. Right? Does that make sense? Right. One who seeks the objective, that is the real, one who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita, right? Self-realization. But one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back, right? Krishna has made some mistake here, we feel it's not, but then one will fall from that position. One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under a bona fide spiritual master. With service and surrender. Because the service means you'll apply it. The surrender means then you'll hear it. Right? So the surrender, we accept the knowledge, we will then therefore will apply it. Right? So that was the thing, with submission and service. A bona fide spiritual master is in the succession from time eternal and does not deviate at all from the instructions of the Supreme Lord as they were imparted millions of years ago to the sun god. From whom the instructions of Bhagavad Gita have come down to the end of the kingdom. In other words, Krishna is God, it doesn't change from that. We have to surrender to God, it doesn't change. Right? Association of Vaishnavas is the only method, that doesn't change. So all these things, that doesn't change, that's what Krishna is given. One should therefore follow the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is expressed in the Gita itself. And beware of self-interested people under personal aggrandizement who deviate others from the actual path. Right? If devotional service is not the actual purpose, then anything that Gita is giving is misunderstood. Right? So it has to come there. The Lord is definitely the Supreme Person, and His activities are transcendental. One who understands this is a liberated person from the very beginning of a study of Gita. So, understanding that one's liberated, the difficulty is we're not used to being liberated, so we think we're not liberated. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. So we continue with our conditioned consciousness, though technically we're not conditioned, we're liberated. Does that make sense? It's like when a bad dream, when you wake up, still you remember the dream and act as if you're in the dream and are affected by the dream, though you're awake. So that's actually the position of devotees. You know, because they're saying, oh, but the liberated person, no, all devotees are liberated, actually. If they have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Person. Right? If that's there, so that's why if that faith is there, then one's liberated. If the faith is not there, then what are you going to do? What benefit you'll get? Because right? You're uncovering what's already there. The soul is by nature on the liberated platform.
So Maharaj, it can be possible to be liberated and in the same time also conditioned by the mode of material nature.
It's not means here when we say that if he's liberated, he's what we're saying here is that the situation you're liberated, but one's still conditioned by one's consciousness.
Yes.
But the point is when we say someone's on the Brahma Buddha platform, that means, you know, his consciousness is in the liberated state.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So generally when we refer to liberation, we're talking about the consciousness. So here, because the basic point is that he accepts Krishna as the Supreme Person, so he's in the liberated state. But he's not accustomed to that state, so he's not able to identify it. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you take, you know, a small child, you know, and put him in a big 5-star hotel. You know, to them, they're just, you know, out in the lobby and all that. And it's very opulent, right? He's just going to play in it like he does out in the backyard. Because the mentality hasn't changed. You know what I'm saying? But basically, the mentality has accepted the most important element of Krishna consciousness. But it's just one hasn't come to the stage where one is able to be aware of that. You know? Does that make sense? So it's, you know, it's an overlapping element.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But with time, with training, that's why by association and training, then one actually understands the situation. Right? Then that child can be trained, and then he appreciates the situation he's in. Is that something? Yes.
Excuse me, I didn't know
this
word. To me, it appears that there is no situation of liberation unless your consciousness on the level of liberation. So if your consciousness is not there, what is the meaning of situation of liberation? So how does it...
The point is the materialist is situated in the material world. So he's under the control of the modes of nature, but the devotee is under the control of Krishna. But according to his consciousness, then Krishna is reciprocating with him as the modes of nature. So he's in a different situation. But, you know, as far as practically being able to take advantage of it, then yes, you know, until one comes to the stage of bhava, then one can fully take advantage. But the point is he's not in the same situation as the soul who's nityabadha. Right? He's in the situation what's called the bhagyajiv. He's fortunate soul. He's not liberated, but he's not conditioned, so he's bhagya.
So about the nityabadha, Maya takes care of them.
Yes, Maya does take care of them.
Krishna
does means she is Krishna's energy, so she knows what to do. So Krishna sanctions things, but he's sanctioned what goes on. And so because he sanctioned what she does, she has the potency to do it. right? But for the devotee, then it's still Maya will take care of things, but it's how Krishna specifically sanctions. You know, means what's going on in the devotee's life, Krishna will at that point sanction or not sanction things. Maya will carry it out because we're not seeing Krishna directly. If you're seeing Krishna directly, then the internal potency will take care of it. But if we're not, then the external potency will take care of it. Does that make sense? It's a subtle difference. You know, it's like the Yamadutas. A pious soul, it means they don't look any different, and their dogs are still with three heads and big teeth, but they're nice. But they still escort him down to Yamaraja's place, but pleasantly. So in other words, Maya takes care, but now it's Krishna's directing exactly how she should do it, rather than she just takes care according to the various modes that are there, and you're being under the modes.
Yeah, this laws of Maya takes care of media vastness, they're kind of impersonal, just laws, you know.
They're just laws, means you do something, whatever it is, you're going to get that result. But the devotee is doing something or may have done something, but it's not necessarily that they'll get that result.
Because of the Krishna involvement.
Because Krishna's involved. That's why we say Krishna karma. So if it's good for you to get the result, you get it. If it's not good for you, you won't get the result. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just like Prabhupada said in his chart, he was supposed to be incredibly wealthy, you know, through business and all that. But Krishna didn't arrange it like that. So everything failed. You know, so then, but then taking up the Krishna consciousness, you know, means the mission, the preaching, then all results came. Right? You know, it's just like, there's no, is there any man in the world who could say that he had 108 places, houses around the world? And not only that, not just a house, but it's full of people who are willing to, you know, do anything for you. You know what I'm saying? So no one has that. So the point was, is Krishna, it wasn't going to happen within the what we would consider the material sphere. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So Krishna arranges it. So it doesn't come there, but it comes over here. You know, or if somebody by going nicely, then they'll get interested in Krishna. Then Krishna may do that in the beginning. But at some point, you have to make a decision that Krishna is more important than just fulfilling the desire. Yes.
So Krishna made Prabhupada arrive in America with 40 rupees because then what he accomplished would be even greater, or?
Whatever. However Krishna, however effect it has. You know, but the point is, in other words, like we'll say, oh, we don't have any facility, or no one recognizes us, that's why we can't preach, and oh, it's not the 1960s where everyone was a hippie and it was all just love and peace and God consciousness. You know, it means no one can say that because the facility's not there, that's why we can't preach.
Very often we say Prabhupada arrived with 40 rupees. So.
Yeah, because that's all he arrived with.
Yeah, but as an example,
you know,
of
and that in those days was worth $10.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it was 40 with $4. It was worth $4. Yeah. Right? So that's what he arrived with. So if we gave you $4 and sent you off to some new country and said, spread Krishna consciousness. So the point is it can be done. Right? He had three books. We have tons of books.
Yeah.
So all that kind of element, you know, he had no program, didn't know who was going to come forward. Now we know how to preach to different groups and different things like that. So there's no way one can say it's not possible to preach. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because there's an idea of what the hippies were, right? You know, what they looked like, what they dressed like. Look at the picture of Prabhupada in Tompkins Square Park with all the people there. Tell me how many actually look like hippies. You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So most people weren't.
Mm.
But it was having its effect. So the point is it doesn't matter. There's tons of people there. If one or two come forward, then that's all you need. You know, in the whole country, there's surely one or two people. You know. Right? You know, like in China, there were no hippies there. If there were, they would have shot them, right?
Yeah.
You know, but you know, there's thousands of devotees.
Mm.
So what does that mean? It's the soul by nature is you know, God conscious. Not hippies by nature. Okay, lesson 29. Next stage is to worship Krishna by all means. So the last one was... Okay, God conscious, lesson 27. Oh, wait a minute, that's 27. Where's 28? Okay, no, here it is, page 3. The general process is to first approach the bona fide spiritual master. Okay, so we have God consciousness, or transcendental loving service of Godhead, is never imposed artificially on any living being, but is inherent in him. It can be revived only by practice. So you're reviving Krishna consciousness, and you're not establishing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're saying. The soul is liberated, but you have to still revive the consciousness of it. Right? Lesson 27. Then the general process. Okay, Krishna consciousness is inherent. You just have to revive it. So the general process is first to approach the bona fide spiritual master. Then, this lesson, next stage is to worship Krishna by all means.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you approach the spiritual master, hear from him, and then worship Krishna by any means. By all means. 3:3. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical, philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. Empirical means through the senses, right? Through analyzation of what you observe with the senses.
Empirical means like objectively provable.
Yeah, but that means you have to use the senses to do that. It means what information
measure,
you get through the senses, you analyze that.
Yeah.
So that would be your philosophical speculation, right? So that's the difference. It's coming from the senses, then you analyze it. So that's called mental speculation.
Yeah.
When it's coming from Shastra and you analyze it, then it's called, you know, contemplation or manana, like this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It means that the Mayavadis will say they're doing manana, but technically they're doing mental, philosophical speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Others by devotional service. And 8. Okay. Shankhya Yoga and Buddhi Yoga are interdependent. In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Shankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga, or Buddhi Yoga. 5. Footnote 5. Thus far, I've described this knowledge to you through analytical study. Now listen as I explain it in terms of working without fruitive results. O son of Prita, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from the bondage of works. Bhagavad Gita 2:39. Okay. So he's described the soul. But the idea is that the soul, without knowing the soul, then in actuality, you're not going to be able to perform this work properly. Right? The karma yoga means you understand I'm not the body, I'm the soul. And then understanding that, then you're going to work for attaining the Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to do it through giving up the results of work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? In this verse, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Shankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit and matter, is the subject matter for persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it is explained in the 61st verse of the second chapter, and that is, one who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady knowledge. The Lord has explained also in the 39th verse, by working by the principles of Buddha Yoga, or Krishna consciousness, one can be relieved from the bonds of action. And furthermore, there is no flaw in the process. Right, so he's doing the work, but it's with the proper knowledge. So proper knowledge is everything's to be done for Krishna. Right? But the focus is on doing an activity rather than just analyzing the situation. Right? Because technically, once they analyze it and understand self-realization, so what are you supposed to do?
Act.
Act, right. So that's the thing. So the person who follows Shankya Yoga should come to the platform of this Karma Yoga or
yeah.
Buddhi Yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
Because technically Buddha Yoga means we're saying Karma Yoga. We see in the fifth chapter after explaining Karma and Gyan, then it's called action in Krishna consciousness. Right? So that's Buddha Yoga. You have the knowledge of the Gyani, but it's applied through the process of Karma. Right? So they're combined. But what you visit, what you see is the Karma Yoga. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm. You know, you don't see the devotees sitting around all the day. If not, then it would look something like, you know, that kind of like that lounge area on the side of the airport has the big kind of like lounge chairs, and we just have all those little devotees just sitting there, meditate and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah.
But we don't. You know, we see the devotees are busy, you know, are active. Right? Not that the brahmacharis would like all those armchairs. They have a nice row of them, you know, like that.
You could have them.
But the trick is to have one less than how many people are there.
Yeah.
So you always kind of have to adjust around so no one can get attached, right? But you could probably also do that maybe by having one extra, because then you try out the different ones.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay, the same principle is more clearly explained in the 61st verse. Because here then you're controlling the senses and fixes it on Krishna, right? Because that's what he was saying before. You're focused on Krishna with faith and controlling the senses, right? So this fixing on Krishna, consciousness fixed upon me, means he has faith, right? And it's coming in parampara, you know, from the association of devotees. So you're taking, that is all meant by fixes his consciousness on me. Okay. Okay. Buddhi Yoga is dependent entirely on the Supreme, or more specifically, on Krishna. And in this way, all the senses can be brought under control very easily. Therefore, both the yogas are interdependent, as religion and philosophy. Religion without philosophy is sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism. While philosophy without religion is mental speculation. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna consciousness, right? So religion means, technically means Varnashram Dharma, right? Because what is the inherent nature? But it's Sanatana Dharma because it's including the understanding of the nature of the soul, right? So then taking that and engaging in Krishna service is proper. That's why it says one should engage pious activities in the Lord's service. That means what's authorized by the Varnashram system. So if you have philosophy without, it means you could take another way. Okay, Varnashram without philosophy is sentiment or fanaticism. Or if it's not Varnashram, it's an Upadharma, but they think it's religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, they have that without philosophy, then it's sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism, right?
Yeah.
While philosophy without Varnashram is mental speculation, right? Because without Varnashram, when it comes to social things, devotees speculate like anything. Why? Because there's no standard. It's one thing is if there's differences of opinion on how to apply religion, that's fine, because someone will be seeing more externally the form of it, someone more the principle that's there. Someone doesn't understand what the form is, or gets confused because there's overlapping forms. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing, yes, that discussion is there. So that's not necessarily speculation. That's vichar. That's discussing or associating with devotees and discussing. But when there is no understanding of the varnashram, then when one tries to apply the philosophy into the individual's life, then there'll be no, how you say? No understanding how to do that, because there's no standard. Right? And then so that means then, how you say? What are you going to replace that varnashram with? One's own conditioned culture.
Yeah.
And so then you'll make rules based on that.
Whimsically.
Hmm? Yeah, whimsically. And the fun part is that though they're claiming to be liberal,
exactly,
they're actually exactly like conservatives without any standard.
Yeah.
But they'll make a broad, sweeping rule that covers anybody without dealing with the individual. Right? Because you have to have form. You can't not have form. You can't not have authority and have a social structure.
Mm.
But the one is going by authority, one is whimsical.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the ones that are so conservative that may just do things they don't know why they're doing it, so it appears like they're ignorant, is actually following a system that's based on the principle of goodness, though they're not necessarily in goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the liberal, though it appears he's more in goodness because of knowledge and all that, he's making these liberal, I mean these different things that categorize everybody and everything. And so it's actually has that element of...
Were you saying in...
You know what I'm saying? Because it's not religion. It's not accepting authority. So therefore, irreligion becomes religion. Religion becomes irreligion. You understand? So it's very interesting how one's situated in one, but the consciousness, you know, their knowledge is the other. And you know, it switches. So therefore, they both have problems.
You were saying yesterday in the Sunday lecture that when people are in ignorance and just being pushed around by the modes, there's no apparent direction, and it seems like freedom, or
yeah,
because it's just, it seems like they can go anywhere, but it's just because they're just being tossed around by the modes.
Yeah, but it's just tossed around in such a way that you don't notice you're being tossed around.
Does this relate to the liberals? Well, they don't have
relates.
A standard.
Well, there was just it was there specifically relating in the class was relating to everybody.
Yeah,
it means if you're a materialist, that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that was based on the principle saying that you follow the you know these laws given by God, then you're restricted. But we don't follow, so we're free.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the guy who's smoking the cigarette.
Yeah.
He says, "I'm free to do as I like."
Yeah.
You're restricted.
Yeah.
When we'll say, "Well, actually, it's the other way around. You have to smoke."
Yeah.
We've chosen not to smoke, and we're not smoking. It's our choice. We could smoke, but we decided not to smoke.
Yeah.
But you say you're free to... That means you would be free to smoke or not smoke.
But that's not...
But you can't not smoke. So you're not free. Like that. You're bound. We're free. That's the meaning of ignorance, is that you would see something that is freedom as being restricted.
Yeah.
And what's actually restricted as freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The ultimate goal is Krishna, right? So it's not philosophy for philosophy's sake, religion for religion's sake. It's the ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna consciousness. Mm. So the Buddha Yoga means where you use that knowledge of Krishna consciousness in active service. So that works. Buddha Yoga is better than Shankhya Yoga. The whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super self. Yeah, in other words, the soul in relationship with God. The indirect process is philosophical speculation, by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness. And the other process is directly connecting everything with Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better, because it does not depend on purifying the senses by a philosophical process. Right? Because if we were going to purify ourselves by a philosophical process, then you have to be very intelligent, actually. And that intelligence has to be a practical intelligence. And one basically has to be pious. Right? You know, like that, that one would value. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better because it does not depend on purifying the senses by a philosophical process. Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process. And by the direct method of devotional service, it is simultaneously easy and sublime. Because it's easier to engage in an activity than to sit around and analyze it constantly, and that's all you do. Right? So it's easy, and it's sublime. It's transcendental. Well, the speculation is not necessarily transcendental. But it's understanding the difference between, but it's not that it's situated technically transcendentally. Because there's still the element of I and mine and all these other. So here you're taking the essential point of this, is that it doesn't depend upon purifying the senses by the knowledge. In other words, if you have knowledge, it'll make it easier. That's what was recommended before, that Arjuna should slash this ignorance by the sword of knowledge. But if you can't do that, whatever little means technically you are, but it may be only a small amount of knowledge, you're applying it in Krishna consciousness. Right? In other words, you're using the elements of karma yoga. Right? And so by that, knowledge and detachment come automatically. So as it comes, then you're more able to take advantage of the knowledge in the application and the service. So therefore the senses become more controlled, you're less illusioned. So then the service is more, you know, have a better quality. So there's more knowledge and renunciation come. So just by following the process, all knowledge and all detachment will come. But the idea is one should take advantage of that knowledge and detachment that do come in Krishna consciousness and reinvest it back into the process. Right? Otherwise, some of the devotees become more intelligent, more detached, and then they take up teaching, you know, material knowledge to the karmis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the thing is no, you're supposed to reinvest that back into the Krishna conscious process. Right? Okay, you need an occupation, you need to make money, fine. But are they using that ability within their Krishna consciousness? Use it within your occupation, great. But is it being used within your Krishna conscious practice?
So this would be something that happens to those who come to Krishna conscious because they want something more.
Can be also just that they lose faith.
Get distracted.
Something. It means either the senses come up, because it's there. It's the anxiety of just the material phenomena.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're trying to enjoy it and it doesn't work. Or we want facility and we don't have it. Right? We want knowledge we don't have. Like that. So any of these three then can be distracting. And at the same time, that has to have the faith. So if that faith is lost. Right? So that's why when we're looking at different situations that come up within Krishna consciousness, you know, the difficulty of the individual devotee's ability to practice Krishna consciousness. Right? Someone can practice nicely or someone can't practice nicely. Mm-hmm. Or they're practicing nicely and then they're not practicing nicely. Right? We generally don't have a problem with someone wasn't practicing nicely, now he is practicing nicely. You know, hey, wait a minute, just yesterday he was, you know, completely in Maya. How is it today? No, we don't generally complain about that one, right? So one has to know this combination of the philosophy and religion. We know what the standard is. And we know that the individual soul is independent. He may take it seriously or not. So if he takes it seriously, then he advances. He doesn't take it seriously, he gets distracted. Does that make sense? So then we're not worried that, oh, he got distracted, therefore, you know, all, you know, if he can't do it, how will I be able to do it? You know, the point is you know, it's said, you know, give an example, is that if you're sitting in a trench somewhere, and, you know, the enemy is firing, you know, if you stick your head up, you'll get shot, right? So, but the point is that doesn't matter whether you're a private or you're a general.
Yes.
You know, whoever sticks their head up gets shot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So if the general sticks his head up and gets shot, then he can't say, oh, then we're all going to be shot. No, mm-hmm. Don't stick your head out. That's all. Does that make sense? Because the point is what's being, that one, the point was there before. The category faithless person, one category is those who, in spite of having faith, doubt if they can attain perfection. So also then you won't get. But they'll attribute it, no, this devotee fell down, and so therefore if he can't make it, I can't make it. So he thinks it's because of that devotee falling down, that's why I'm not advancing. No, it's because you don't have the faith that you can advance. Does that make sense?
So they think that if they can find one symptom, then that's not necessarily the right symptom, but just the symptom.
Yeah, something, because otherwise you have this historical element where a senior devotee goes away, and then so many people say, well, if he can't make it, I won't make it. So then they all disappear. So hundreds of devotees just disappear like that. But the reason they're disappearing is not because the senior man went away. It's because they lost faith that they could advance in Krishna consciousness. Because that's what it says. They will fall down. But ignorance and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. And so explaining all these different things, and Baladev gives a footnote in this point to say those who, in spite of having faith, doubt if they can attain perfection, they're also the last category of faithless persons. You understand? So it's within devotional service. So it's not, there's no situation that can stop one's Krishna consciousness. So if one has that faith, because if God is everywhere and in everything, that means that all times, places, and circumstances, you can be God conscious. It's not dependent on anyone else. Right? Mm. The practice is not. Mm. One has to have heard that practice from a bona fide spiritual master, coming into parampara, in the association of devotees. But the practice of it is self-realization. Mm. Self, meaning yourself, not everybody else. International Society for Everybody Consciousness, like that. No, it's self-realization. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. And the point is we always have to remember here, very important, the Vaishnava principle of iron and fire. Right? Not the Krishna concept of eternal damnation. If you put it, let's say we have a piece of iron. If you put it in the fire, what happens? Fire. What if we take it out of the fire? It
stops.
Yeah, okay. Now, can we put it back in the fire again? Yes. Or is there a rule that now once coming out, if you put it back in, it won't get hot again? Like that, it does. They bring in all the stuff, all the old cars and this and everything, and dump it into the thing, and they start melting it, and it's not melting. And then someone goes, oh no, this stuff must have been heated before, so you can't heat it again. Okay, we've got to get rid of this. No, it melts. Right, so iron and fire gets hot. You take it out, it gets cold. You put it back in, it gets hot. You take it out, it gets cold. So you can do that as many times as you want.
And many people do that.
Yes, that's another. That's not the point. But the point is that one may say, no, but you heard from the spiritual master, but he's not with us now. So that means he wasn't a bona fide spiritual. No, but that's when the iron's in the fire. It works. You take the iron out of the fire. Now you don't listen to him. Now he tell you some new agey thing and this and that, and you need to get an enema or something, like that. That's not, you don't have to worry about that.
Thank you.
Right? Does that make sense? But if one is in the fire, then it works. We have to understand this. Then we as an individual can progress. So there's no question that we feel we can't attain perfection. Or there's something wrong, or we're doubtful. No, it says that it's here. Krishna's saying this. Arjuna's on a battlefield in front of everybody there, and everybody's going to get killed. So, but he has faith, right? So it works. It's like the place is full of people, and at the end, there's only going to be 7 people left. 7 out of 640 million. So, why you're worried if the temple disappears, right? All 23 of them, and that's it. Oh, no. When 640 million disappear, then if there's still anybody left, you're doing okay,
That's pretty good.
Does that make sense? That was the point of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his final instructions, that don't worry that others aren't taking Krishna consciousness seriously. You take it seriously. Mm-hmm. You'll be successful. Mm-hmm. Whoever takes it seriously, they'll be successful. Who doesn't take it seriously won't be successful. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's the point.
And Maharaj, just a question about the spiritual master. You know, suppose when the spiritual master of one disciple disappeared, left his body, can we say that the principle of the instruction, spiritual master, he can receive instruction from other Vaishnava?
Yeah, of course. It's the same instruction.
Same instruction.
It's just that there's a root. There's a connection there. So the connection to the parampara, the connection to the hearing of and practicing those instructions have been made. Because the point is initiation means you're going to follow the instruction. You're committed to following the instruction. That's the point of diksha, right? The liberated soul doesn't need the pancharatri process of diksha because they're liberated. They're going to follow. They don't have any material distraction. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but the conditioned soul needs a formality to say, this is the guy you got to listen to. Right? The liberated soul, then they're naturally attracted to Krishna. So when they hear from about Krishna, they will follow that person. So there's not a problem there. Right? You know, like the six Goswamis. There's no pancharatrik initiation between them and Lord Chaitanya. But Prabhupada always, everybody mentioned, yes, they're direct disciples. Why? Because they're liberated. And so on the Bhagavad platform, siksha is liberation. I mean, is initiation. For us, siksha is initiation, but siksha along with the ritual so that you know that you've been initiated. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the point is if the Diksha Guru goes, the only thing lacking is that continuance of siksha. Does that make sense? So all it is that the other siksha gurus that you have, then you take shelter there of the siksha. You know, because the diksha can't give the siksha, but the connection's been made. So there's no need to redo the connection. The connection, it's the siksha that keeps the connection alive. The problem is keeping the connection alive, not whether it once connected. You know what I'm saying? The neophyte view of it will think, I don't have the connection, because they take it on the bodily platform. It's the vapu that's important, not the vani. Does this make sense? So it's just a matter of that. So that's why when one takes up Krishna consciousness, then there's so many persons that they value their instruction and their example. So once one takes initiation, one maintains all those relationships. So one has the Diksha Guru and Siksha Gurus. Therefore, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha means it's not just one. It's the Diksha Guru and Siksha Gurus. Right? The Diksha Guru is the root, but the Siksha is what nourishes the diksha. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so if you think, oh no, to be chaste and, you know, all the other relationships to get rid of, then if the Diksha Guru goes away, you've got problems, because where is your siksha connection? Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's very simple, the process. We like to make it complicated. Right, you know, it's just like your Brahman thread breaks, you put on a new one, right? But generally, those who follow the Vedas, when your Brahman thread breaks, you don't talk until you can't talk or eat or sleep until you put on a new one, right? But what's the point? What's the actual purpose? To put on a new one, right? But the lazy person, you know, as long as he's eating, sleeping, you know, then what does he care about a new thread? So if you say, you know, and talking, of course. But if you say you can't talk, you can't eat or sleep, then he's going to get a new Brahman thread real fast. Maximum will be, you know, 3 or 4 hours. Like if he just had breakfast, yeah, and while he's washing his hands, he broke the thread. Okay, he's got until lunch, right? But that's all. That's the maximum it'll be. So you'll find that within a very short time they get a thread. That's the only purpose. It's not that, you know, there's something, if there's no thread, you can't change it. No. So that's the thing. We like to make it complicated. Like someone was just telling me the other day, you know, it's like, if your thread breaks, then, you know, what? He's like, get a new one. Get a new one. They want to make it hard. You know, it's got to be difficult. Yeah, no, you have to, you know, crawl on your knees backwards around the Gurukul 3 times. Okay, yeah. You know, so
you should try saying that sometime.
I'm afraid people would take it seriously.
Yeah. Then
I'd be a, you know, at some temple somewhere. Maharaj, you know, you said about
that's true. It's kind of common.
Worried. That's why I never like it when they start the sentence.
Yeah.
Maharaj, you said. You said.
Exactly.
Like, are you sure that I said what you said? Okay. 3-4. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Right? You think, if I don't work, then there'll be no bad reaction. So that's how I'll do, because that's what these other processes work by. Right? And nor by renunciation I'll get perfection. So I don't deal with anything, therefore I'm not connected, attached to anything here, so I'm liberated. Without purification of heart, sannyasa is simply a disturbance in society. Renounced order of life can be accepted when one has been purified by the discharge of the prescribed form of duties which are laid down just to purify the hearts of materialistic men. Right? Okay, you've been purified by the discharge of the prescribed duties that are laid down to purify the hearts of materialistic men. Right? It means, in other words, you've engaged the elements of your life, either as a brahmachari or as a grihastha, in the Lord's service completely. Because that's what sannyasa is. Right? Sannyasa means you're performing work that's just for Krishna. The result is for Krishna. So the activity, while it's being performed, results already Krishna's. Right? But you may be doing it where it's yours and then giving it to Krishna and eventually getting to that platform. When you do that platform, that's sannyasa. Right? Without purification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, sannyasa. So here he's specifically saying sannyasa as an order, not sannyasa as the mentality. Because the point is if you practice sannyasa as the mentality in these prescribed forms of duties, then the sannyasa as the form will have meaning, right? Because the form and the mood go together. Right? Of the two, it's the mood that makes it. Just because you practice the form doesn't make it work. Mm-hmm. It's because you practice the mood, then the form will come. Right? According to empirical philosophers, simply by adopting sannyas, retiring from fruitive activities, one at once becomes as good as Narayan. Think that you've given up all those activities so that renunciation makes you as good as God. Right? But the point is it's the mentality. You know, it means that's the thing, is they take God as a position. What about God's mentality? Right? Because if you can take sannyasa and become God, then that means there must be a mentality that goes with it.
Yeah.
You know, so. But Lord Krishna does not approve this principle, right? That just because you took sannyasa, now you're him. And being God, he has the right to approve or not approve of such things.
Nice try.
Yeah. Strike. Without purification of heart, sannyasa is simply a disturbance to the social order. On the other hand, if someone takes to the transcendental service of the Lord, even without discharging his prescribed duties, whatever he may be able to advance in the cause is acceptable by the Lord, Buddhi Yoga. Right, so even though he hasn't properly performed his varnashram duties before taking up Krishna consciousness, he's still qualified to take up Krishna consciousness. Right? But the sannyasa order, unless he has performed all his prescribed duties, right, and become purified, then only he can accept. Does that make sense? So here, that's what devotional service, therefore, is superior. Because anybody can take it up, no matter what their position. That's why I said before, even the most sinful of sinners, like that, you know, so, you know, one could, you know, make a, you know, pretty good list, you know, like that. So, who's the most sinful of sinners, they can take up Krishna consciousness. Because it doesn't require any previous. In other words, Krishna consciousness being the inherent natural position of the soul, which is the point that's being made, right? There is, how do you say, anybody can take it up. There's no previous requirement, right? And the thing that keeps one progressing in it, or when one, you could say one has taken it up, is one has faith. The faith is there, one progresses. No faith, one doesn't progress. Right? So it's not dependent upon karma or jnana. Right? The Vedic system is. Right? In other words, for perfect varnashram, it's dependent upon following the rules and regulations properly. That means you have to be pious. Right? So to perfect oneself through varnashram, basically in this age, is impossible. But by engaging the culture that is there in varnashram, in the Lord's service, as part of one's devotional duties, then that helps us, keeps us, you know, properly situated. And then through that process of engaging in the Lord's service, it's the devotional service of the Buddha Yoga, that gives the realization by which we can come to Krishna. So that's the...
And anybody can take it up.
Even the most sinful, because someone who's the most sinful of sinners cannot take up varnashram. You know, or follow Pancharatra. But devotional service, they can. Like Pancharatra is an anga of devotional service. So having taken up the devotional process, they could follow it. But like the Smarta follows Pancharatra. But the Smartas, they're born in aristocratic Brahmin families, that they've been Brahmins, you know, from, you know, the time of their father all the way back to whichever Prajapati, 21 of the Prajapatis of grandsons or great-grandsons or sons of Brahma that they're from. Right? So when we say smart, that means they are the pious ones. You know? So that's what we talk about when we say, by piety, that will not get you devotion, because the Smartas aren't becoming devotees. But they're following Pancharatra. Right? But they're not understanding in connection to the Lord.
Are they going to the heavenly planets?
That's generally their interest. You know, Smarta generally means they're a follower of Jaimini. Mm-hmm. So most of the time it's Vedic, but they do, you know, Pancharatric elements will be there when they do worship. So they don't really necessarily have a problem with worshiping deities. Well, it's generally all Vedic, but it's, you know, which means you have to be even more pious. Because Pancharatra, by initiation and instruction, then you're qualified. But the Vedic, unless you actually have the material piety, you can't really follow it. So that's why devotees, it's the first thing you do is not establish Krishna Varnashram, you establish Krishna consciousness. Then by following Krishna consciousness, then you'll have the piety to utilize the benefits of varnashram. We're not trying to establish varnashram. It's just that it's the more useful of the social systems. Does that make sense? Whatever he may be able to advance in the cause is accepted by the Lord. Swapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a single slight performance of such a principle enables one to overcome great difficulties. So Krishna consciousness, because it's real, just even a small amount of it will give perfection. You don't need a whole bucket load, right? Just a small amount is all that's required. But on material, unless you have bucket loads of piety, you don't get much. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If the guy comes along with 50 pice and wants to invest in business, he's not going to get so far. But you need a lot of money. But Krishna consciousness, even there's a drop, still it has effect. It's real.
Yes. Similar to the Karma Kanda rituals, that if you do one detail wrong, it just doesn't work at all.
Well, you look at how did it work out for Tvashta. I think it's Tvashta. He was the father of Vishwarupa.
Okay.
Vishwarupa was the three-headed Brahmin who got his heads cut off by Indra.
Okay. Yeah, not good.
Huh? Right? So Tvashta, he performed, because his son was killed by Indra, he performed a yajna to kill Indra.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to get a demon who was Indra's enemy.
Yeah,
in other words, he would go after Indra and kill him. But in chanting the mantra, Because when you're dealing with these Atharva Veda mantras, you have, I forget what it's called, but you have a marking that's above it's placed above a short vowel. What it means is that short vowel, even though grammatically, I mean, by the word, it's short, but by grammar, it becomes chanted as long, by Vedic grammar, not by classical grammar. And so then he chanted that short instead of long. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he got someone who, Indra was his enemy. Mm-hmm. Right? So Indra was out to get Vishwarup, not Vishwarup was out to get Indra. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's one syllable. So in Prabhupada says in the Karmakanda Yajnas that if you chant one syllable wrong, you don't get the effect. He means it.
He's actually being nice.
Yeah. And when we're talking about these yogis, we're not talking about us. We sit down and we sit there and chant for 20 minutes and then go take prasad. You know? It means something like, let's say, a Soma yogi. It's a 9-month to prepare. And then I think the yogi itself is like 3 months or something. So it's 1 year. Generally, most of these things, you can do them in 1 year, but it takes the whole year. Does that make sense? That's why they're so special. And you have to have... It says, I think to do a Soma Yajna, it says, if you don't have enough store of grains and everything, that you could live on that with your family for 3 years, then don't even bother. Because in that one yajna, all that's going to be used. In the yajna, you know, for the Brahmins, you know, feeding, you know, what all these different things. If you don't have that, don't even bother. So that's the
I'll stick with devotional service.
Yeah. So it's devotional service a lot easier. So when Prabhupada is saying that, you know, we don't care for the rules, we follow the devotional service, he means we don't care for all those. He doesn't mean that now you apply that on the rules of devotional service and say we don't care for the rules. That's what it is. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he's acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Right? You know, nothing else. You know, you have to scratch your head or, you know, do something. The soul is always active. It is not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. Right? So it's not the being in the body, because that's what the Mayavadas will say. You're in the body, that's why you're active. But if you're not in the body, then the soul is inactive, is peaceful. No, it's the soul is active. Because otherwise, if it was the body, why isn't the body, you know, walking around? You know, and just like, you know, you see a body walking around, you come, oh, hi, how are you? Oh, no, another zombie. Okay, and then you just, you know, walk on. You know, it's like that. You know, got to look at it. Yeah. And it's like, what's with this place? So many zombies, you know, aren't there any living people here? You know, like that. So you don't have that as a problem.
Nope.
Like that. So the point is the soul that's active. When the soul's in the body, it's active. When the soul's not in the body, it's not active. So it's... Yeah. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. The body is only a dead vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. Right, you know, right, kids are the perfect example. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by illusory energy. It means you're going to do something. So it's either Maya tells you what to do, or you follow what you're supposed to do for Krishna. That's all. But activity, there's no such thing as not doing. The Mayavadis may say that it's a possibility, but they're always very active. They're traveling around, lecturing, preaching, doing their pujas, you know, doing all kinds of this, doing charity work. They're always busy. They're never sitting around doing nothing. Like, you know, despite what they say, they're not. You never see them doing nothing. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes, and to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the shastras. Right? Because the modes will have you do all kinds of things. So you have to follow what's in the shastras. But then the shastras are so perfect, you can find what your modes are, how to engage them within shastra. Right? So in other words, you're not, you don't have to change what your interest is in. You just have to do it under the authority of Scripture. Does that make sense? So it's like, you know, they'll say, oh no, it's not my nature to do this. You know, then if it's, if there's nothing in Shastra that has anything for you, then that means you're a tribal.
Yes.
And so acknowledge that.
Yes.
And acknowledge that the others who are following are humans and they're superior. And then offer respect. But that won't happen. No, I can't follow this, but they'll try to establish themselves in a position better than those who are following. That's not allowed. That's illegal. You know. If really there's nothing in the Vedic culture for you, then okay, then go live in the forest. Right? No, that's the place for you. Now, whether that forest is made of trees or cement, that's another thing. But the point is
optional.
But if the soul is engaged in its natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. So, in other words, do something in Krishna consciousness. Because the point is tribals also take prasad. They like singing, they like dancing, they like hanging out with each other, right? So you can do that for Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So even that goes back to the point before. Even he is unable to do all the things, still, something is good. Right? Does that make sense? That's the advantage of devotional service. So the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. So there must be some restriction. Right? Otherwise, then we're going to be too distracted. Therefore, sannyas, or any purificatory process, is to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious, without which everything is considered a failure. Right? So sannyas is worthwhile as a purificatory process to help one get to Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that sannyas is Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but it is.
Right? Just like grihastha is not Krishna consciousness, brahmacharya is not Krishna.
And now
Krishna consciousness is Krishna consciousness.
With speaking about the ashram, but it's the ashram, you have to have the mentality of sannyas before you take the order of sannyas, right?
It's always recommended.
Yes. So
unless you're so pious and so dutiful that you'll do what you're supposed to anyway.
Yeah, but couldn't we actually say then that sannyas, proper sannyas, is actually Krishna conscious, or
it is Krishna conscious. That's why we're saying is that whatever order works for you according to your nature.
Mm.
You know, someone's attached to attachment, someone's attached to detachment.
Mm.
So someone's attached to attachment gets married. Someone is attached to detachment takes sannyas.
Mm.
But the point is it's supposed to be a purificatory process to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious.
Mm.
So as long as the idea of entering into it is for Krishna conscious reasons, right? So when Prabhupada asks devotees, why do you take sannyas? And they say, well, you know, people will, you know, respect you and listen like this and that. And then Prabhupada laughed. He turned to the other sannyas and said, hey, he wants to take sannyas for prestige, you know, social position.
Mm.
No, it's for Krishna consciousness.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're so focused on the element of the karma yoga within buddhi yoga that we think the activity itself is the Krishna consciousness. No, it's the consciousness while you perform the activity that's the Krishna consciousness. But there's recommended activities. That's why it always says prescribed duties. Right? So the prescribed duty, doing that. So the sannyas has a value in obtaining Krishna consciousness, because then it gives you that time to not get involved in many things and to focus on direct activities of devotional service. Right? You understand? Because nowadays someone says, because people respect you or not, it doesn't matter. I walked into the manor in London, walked around, taken darshan, and walked out. And even though it's full of devotees, no one notices you there. So it's not that sannyas automatically people notice you. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, it's important for your own development. You know what I'm saying? The grihastha is busy at home. That's why he's not giving the lecture.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
People,
when you give class in the morning at the temple, who's sitting there? the brahmacharis,
yeah.
Right? You know, and there'd be a couple of grihasthas, right? But if you ask the president how many are in the community, 300, right? So the point is it gives you an opportunity, you know, and in the evening, then there'll be grihasthas will be there for a short time until they have to go home, right? You know what I'm saying? So the point is it gives an opportunity. It's not that it makes it, that's therefore you can do that. Because knowledge of Krishna consciousness is what's required. And so someone who has that can preach. So that'll be gained by engaging your nature in Krishna's service, right? But if the soul is engaged in his natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. So whatever it is, then he do. By doing that, you get knowledge and detachment. Like that. So the point is what ashram you'll be fully engaged in. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. The person who's the brahmachari, he's always thinking of facilities of family life, better he gets married, because once you're married, then you only think about it how much you have to.
Keep yourself from coping.
Yes. So then, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, the person who, detachment is the thing, then all the things that you have to deal with in the family life, that'll be overwhelming. So it'll be distracted by that. So in either case, they're distracted. One is thinking he wants it, the other is thinking he doesn't want it. So therefore, one's situated in it, one's situated out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's how it's worked. It's not, we use it as a prestige thing and climbing the ladder and stuff like that. So that's...
It's a fact that people tend to listen more to sannyasis,
there is that element, but it's not that we're taking it that the sannyas order makes for the Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's someone who has something to say. You listen to them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So if a devotee genuinely feels like he has something to say and he wants to preach, then he would maybe be aware that if I take sannyas, people would tend to listen to me more.
Can, but it's not necessarily like that. You know what I'm saying? The point is you have something to say, people want to hear it. You don't have something to say, no one wants to hear it. So it's not because of the order. You know, like Janani Vasudeva gives a class.
Yeah.
Everybody shows up.
Yeah.
Is he a sannyasi?
Nope.
No, he's a brahmachari.
Yeah.
So therefore it has nothing to do with the order. There may be the element of, you know, certain aspects of just social, but it's not. That's not the real reason. The point is the kirtan's good. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Right. It means okay. Govinda Maharaj does the kirtan. Right. People like it. He's a what order is he in?
Sannyasi.
Okay. Madhav does kirtan. What is he?
He's
a grihastha. Right. Sri Prahlad. Grihastha, Indudumna, Sannyasi. It doesn't matter. It's who's good at kirtan, you want to be at their kirtan. Does that make sense? That's the real thing. So the order of life is only to help in the individual's execution of Krishna consciousness. That's the point. It's not that, because otherwise then we're saying that Varnashram makes it work. No, it's Varnashram as an assistant to devotional service. So devotional service is hearing and chanting about Krishna. Therefore, the Varnashram will help in that, but it doesn't mean that it's not that that's what makes it work. Oh, he's a sannyasi, that's why. No, it's not that. Does that make sense? Because there's sannyasis who come, no one wants to go to their class. You know what I'm saying? And there's grihasthas who come, and you want to go to their class. So it's nothing to do with that. Technically, if you really analyze it, it's not. It's just what situation is easier for you. That's all. Right? All it is that if one's a brahmachari sannyasi, one generally has more time for the direct activities. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you'll see a predominance of those performing the direct activities, you know, in a leadership role, because they have more time for it. You know? So does that make sense? You know? That's the advantage. It affords more time. But if one's going to have more time but always be thinking about Grihastha, he enters into Grihastha and then does how much time he'll do anyway. Right? But in other words, the Grihastha performs devotional service, not thinking about it, about Grihastha life.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaur.
Amen.